Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined as usual by JP Ong, and since it's Friday, Jeff Howie from the SGX. It's been an interesting week. I've been saying that for the last several, but this week has certainly been particularly interesting, given the fact that the budget was announced in Parliament earlier this week. There's been reactions to the budget. There's been conversations that haven't stopped yet about the budget. But today we are slightly under 3,200, which isn't too bad, actually. Ending, even if we ended where we're sitting right now, it wouldn't be too bad.
Not so bad, I would say, yes. We're down by less than a point so far. So it's just a very, very light shade of red coloring the Straits Times Index.
You mean pink?
Yeah, if you're going to get all technical with us that way. Yeah, okay, fine. It's a slight shade of pink. And as we speak, it's now flattened at 3,198. So we're back where we started out today's session. So, and I think, it's very small, minuscule movements, at least for Friday. And perhaps folks are just eager to get to the weekend after what's been a rather momentous week, not just because of the budget, but we had those GDP numbers come out on Monday. 0.7%, the week, I think the slowest growth in over a decade since the global financial crisis, and also that projection and that warning where economic officials said, look guys, we're not going to sugarcoat it, there is a chance we might see a recession or contraction this year, which is why the budget was so important to roll out. What are we going to do to try and keep that from happening, or try to keep the boat afloat at the least? And I think that's been the conversation that's been dominating many an economist's dinner table at the moment. Mm-hmm. Well, is the $6.4 billion stimulus going to actually work? Have they targeted enough sectors? And I think while we're going through some of the details and we're trying to figure out if it's going to be enough, and also balance that against some of the changes and the updates with regards to COVID-19, we have more than, what is it now? Last I checked, about 2,244 deaths worldwide. Mm-hmm. And it continues to rise. I think this is what's going to color sentiment, at least here. Across the region at the moment, you're seeing losses everywhere except in mainland China. And this despite, again, the continued rise of the COVID-19 outbreak, the possibility of their GDP actually weakening. IHS Markit says that this alone might see their GDP growth for 2020 fall to 5.4%.
Which is low for them.
Which is low. But this also is spurring hope or expectations of the markets that the People's Bank of China and fiscal authorities will start to throw a lot more stimulus to try and keep the Chinese government afloat. And I think that's why mainland Chinese markets are afloat today, or doing quite well. The Shenzhen Bourse, for one, up by 1.5%. The Hang Seng, though, not really going along their mainland peers. They're down by about 0.8%. Talk about another city that is facing recessionary pressures, or is in the middle of a recession at the moment. And the hits and challenges can't get any worse, at least for the Hang Seng. But this is the picture at the moment. The only bright spots we're seeing right now, mainland Chinese markets, and New Zealand, up by about 0.2% at the moment.
What is value turnover right now on the SDI?
For the year so far, it's 1.23, which is stronger than 2019. It was 1.08 for the whole of 2019 on average every day, $1.08 billion. So it's $1.23 billion so far for the year to date. And the interesting thing is there's a lot of broader stocks and sectors that are all chipping in and contributing, you know, again, playing to our strengths as a very diversified market.
In a situation like this, and over the last couple of weeks, has there been stocks that might have not gotten as much love previously or in 2019? They're now getting more attention from buyers.
Yeah, there is one particular segment. So the key market mover so far in the year to date has been the US dollar. Mm-hmm. So the US dollar index has moved up 3.6% so far in the year to date, which is pretty strong.
Also gaining ground today as we speak, right?
Exactly. Gaining ground today. And that means that our Sing dollar, the exchange rate of the US dollar to the Sing dollar, has basically moved from around below 1.35 to up to 1.4 now. So that's been a big move. So what that means, Clarissa, is when you look at that STI, which, as JP said, is at 3198 now, you've got your big five movers or your leaders. The really strong aspect of the STI have been the REITs, But the stocks that weren't so strong last year but have been strong this year are those that are traded in US dollars. So Jardine Matheson Holding has already generated 9% SGD term return so far. That's Jardine Strategic's up 6%. Jardine Matheson's up 9%. And then, of course, you've got Mapletree Logistic Trust up 18%. Ascendas REIT up 12%. That's predominantly because while you've got that really strong rising US dollar, you've also got falling yields in the US. So last year, the 10-year notes ended the year with a yield of 1.93%. So far, they've depreciated to around 1.5% now. So that's not far off those September 2019 lows of 1.43%. So you've got rotation with still the multilateral issues of the world, and of course some concerns of COVID-19. You've got rotation into the US dollar safe haven, which of course the US dollar is the strongest growing of the G7
and
countries.
And US treasuries as well.
Exactly. And hence for broad equity, it's a tougher game to keep in pace with that. But nevertheless, we have seen a lot of rotation into those stocks that do benefit in low interest rate outlooks. Keppel DC REIT is one we always... Well, we don't always, but JP
maybe the last four months or so, it's been the data center REITs have been getting a lot of attention. Also, it's also fair to compare REITs. Again, no two REITs are alike, especially now. We're seeing that some of the retail and commercial REITs have started to indicate that this COVID-19 outbreak might hit them because of consumer sentiment. So if you compare that to, say, something like a data center REIT, which perhaps business might come down a bit, but I can't imagine the demand for data being hit as hard or as immediately by the COVID-19 outbreak. In fact, you might even see a pickup in data demand, perhaps because you're going to need to sort through a lot of information to try to figure out what's going on with this COVID-19 outbreak. And who knows? Maybe somewhere in these big data centers that Keppel DC is running, maybe they've got some sectors where they're actually servicing some of these biotech firms.
Digitalization and cloud deployment are big drivers for data centers, and that obviously comes into effect now. JP, you did say no to stocks are alike, but
no two REITs are alike.
No two REITs are alike. Well, okay, I might qualify that slightly.
Sure.
Equinix is the world's biggest data center REIT. It's the world's fifth largest REIT in the world by market capitalization.
I think you've talked about these guys before, but yeah.
And they last year they generated an increase in the annual revenue of 10%. From FY18, Keppel DC REIT also generated a annual growth of its gross revenue by 11%. So it's very similar growth in revenue from that point. And also, I might also mention that the Keppel DC REIT, when you look at its performance from 12th of December 2014, when it listed originally, its portfolio was just $1 billion. Now it's around $2.6 billion with many more assets and more countries that it has its data centers in. But since that 12th of December 2014, little over 5 years, Keppel DC REIT has generated a dividend inclusive return of 250%.
Mm-hmm.
That's just 4% less than Equinix's 254%.
So not the same, but
similar drivers. Yeah, very similar.
The fact that they're both also seeing similar growth rates or almost identical growth rates at the moment could also be interesting bellwethers for that industry as a whole. That no matter where you are, you could be Equinix out of California, you could be Keppel Data Center REIT based out here in Singapore. The demand is pretty broad-based across the sector, and no signs that this trend will slow down anytime soon because everybody and their mother is trying to at least digitize or try to shift towards really weaponizing some of the data that
it
they have.
It really does feel like the demand for data will only grow as time goes by.
And it's been our strongest performing REIT this year so far. It was the strongest performing of our REITs last year.
Okay, how are the medical related stocks? I mean, you've been talking, you've showed some love to... Medtex.
Which is up by about 4.2% so far today. They're trading at about 10 cents a piece. I think it's also fair to look at some of the healthcare providers at the moment. You've got, Healthway Med, which is flat so far today. Again, these guys will be front and center. It's interesting, though, to note that some of them, actually, when they've released some of their guidance moving forward, a lot of them actually indicated that they might actually see some headwinds because of the COVID-19 outbreak. not so much because you're going to see the demand for, well, we're expecting that demand for medical services, given the outbreak, might actually rise. But they've also said that one of the concerns they have is that folks or citizens might shy away from hospitals because they're afraid that, yep, you know, if there's a place I might catch this, it might be actually here in this hospital. So they're probably going to, they might actually choose to shy away from these places. You know, it's not a 100% upside driver, at least for some of these healthcare providers also. Mm-hmm. But one can only hope that the, was it, 800 million Singapore dollars has been rolled out to help some of the workers on the front lines, at least.
Yeah.
Will actually, and honestly, some of these clinics, I can imagine just how busy and frantic some of them are at the moment, because, you know, again, this is, what would you say, it's a medical emergency? I might say so.
I would think everyone in the world right now is thinking, yes, it's a medical emergency. But you've got MedTech, you've got Top Glove as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the challenges to them might be disruptions to their supply chains if they've got illnesses and they've more than and meeting the demand that I'm sure they're actually seeing a rise in.
It's true. I think,
And I think investors have recognized that. So a lot of the moves have been measured. So UG Healthcare, for instance, which is more Singapore-based, that's generated a year-to-date return, I think, 68% mm-hmm. as of the close yesterday, versus Riverstone Holdings in Malaysia, which is still double-digit gain, but I think in the teens, somewhere around 14%.
And UG Healthcare today up by about 4.3%. They're trading about 24.5 cents right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that stock's been trading $2 million a day. While that MedTech's International, Clarissa, it's been our 31st most active stock by turnover so far in the year to date.
No surprise.
And it has been for the last couple of weeks at least.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. And not surprising.
$11 million a day in turnover, it's averaged.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, that's clearly, you know, the ones that people would have top of reference. Were there some sleepers that came into prominence over the last few weeks?
I think some of the, one stock, for instance, it's come to life in the last couple of days was Wilmore International.
Yeah.
And they did release very interesting earnings the other day.
Last night.
Last night, yeah. It was. Yeah, we broke it actually here when the numbers came out. We gave some of the top lines. Net profit grew quite significantly. Wilmore International is up by 3% today in today's trade. But interesting is Wilmore International has about 360 plants that they operate in mainland China.
Right.
64. It's still one of their biggest markets. They're planning to list one of their big units out there in Shenzhen sometime this year. They're still plowing through with that. Of course, you have to ask them, right? Well, what's going on with your operations? Have they been impacted by COVID-19?
Mm-hmm.
Their CEO has actually said that they're not expecting a significant hit. And they think that regardless of what happens, the demand for food products will remain sustainable in China because people got to eat. So,
oh, yeah.
And
people might eat more when they're stressed.
Right. So that's me for sure.
That's all three of us.
I do want to compare this, for instance, to one of the underperformers recently, ComfortDelGro, which is down by 1% today. And just interesting how to see how crucial it is to listen to what the guidance is from their top leaders. You have Wilmore International CEO saying that, you know, we're not expecting a significant hit to our operations
mm-hmm.
in China.
Mm-hmm.
You've got ComfortDelGro CEO the other week when they released earnings saying that, you know, we think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I think this is also why they've sort of set the tones for their businesses moving forward. ComfortDelGro is down. They're paring back mm-hmm. some of those losses. They're just down by about 0.5% now. But I think you're seeing two key examples of just how important leadership is going to be in setting the tone, especially also for how your stock price might trade.
And we've got ST Engineering is our fourth best STI performer so mm-hmm. far this mm-hmm. year with an 8% gain. And that actually reports before Monday morning on the open. And that Wilmar number was really strong too. For the fourth quarter, its net profit was up 120% year on year. And that was across all its broad segments, including its tropical oils, its oil seeds and grains.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
brought its full year net profit to being up 15%.
Not to mention palm oil prices in the fourth quarter last year were really, really strong. I think it was down to...
that surprising though?
Not so, if you monitor palm oil inventories out of Malaysia, they were mm-hmm. actually on the decline for the last 3 to 6 months, and actually helped not just the likes of Wilmar but other palm oil producers. Bumitama Agri has been actually pretty decent over the last couple of weeks. Golden Agri Resources, which just left the Straits Times Index a few months ago, they actually saw better days also because of this. But these palm oil prices, very volatile also, and there's also concerns that you might see it come down alongside many commodity prices should the COVID-19 outbreak prevail. But the folks at Wilmar are saying, you know, people have to eat. and they're not worried about
they have to
about
eat and they have to make candles.
Things. There you go. So or soap or whatever else you use palm oil for, right?
And we're all eating. I mean, at SPH headquarters here, you know, I'm on a very strong first name basis with the Toastbox team.
Oh, there you are.
Really?
They know me as Kaya Toast.
Friday Toastbox.
You're Kaya Toast guy?
Yeah, I'm Kaya Toast when they see me. Ah, hello.
All right. Okay. So now I know what your regulars are. Now, there wasn't a lot of movement on the markets before we ran out of time. There weren't a lot of movement on the markets post-budget. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that what was released in the budget being so practical and so logical and such a measured reaction from the government, which was highly anticipated but very much expected, isn't going to be a driver next week. What do you think?
I, at the moment, the budget will be more of a mid to long-term driver. Mm, a number of economists, Brian Tan, for instance, of Barclays, said that you might have to wait until the end of the year or maybe even next year to see the stimulus measures actually take impact. So this is going to be a bit of a waiting game. You have no choice. You're going to have to wait for the cake to bake. You're going to have to put it in the oven for an hour or two and wait for it to actually...
Learn some patience.
Yes, learn some patience and let things play out. We're in it for the long haul pretty much. And we'll just have to watch out for how some of the hospitality trusts do moving forward. Mm. Singapore Airlines, how they're going to deal. And not just them, but also SATS, which handles a lot of their ground cargo handling as well. So there's still a lot of things to watch out for, but it's going to be a midterm play, I think, at the moment. These things don't boost things overnight, right?
Sure. We'd been looking forward to the budget for a while. Yep. And look, the stage was definitely set for some bold expansionary budget that was balanced, not balanced in terms of surplus or deficit, but balanced between some short-term measures and long-term measures. And they definitely delivered it. You look at the stabilization and support package, the care and support package, and the amount of stimulus that will help to support businesses and households in the short term versus, of course, our long-term transformation and growth initiatives, which are also very important and was very well balanced out, I thought, in terms of the delivering of the budget.
It is going to be a big deficit, though, about 2.1% of GDP. And I think it's also one of the reasons why if there's something that's probably going to stay weak for a while, it might be the Singapore dollar.
Right. So.
And that's, of course, because of total expenditure increasing as well, which is very important.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. This has been Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined by JP Ong and Jeff Howie from the SGX. We will be back next Friday, unless something else happens, to give you our Market View Wrap then.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.